Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, our guest host tonight on Survive to Thrive Radio Network. We're talking about the genetics of the Nephilim, the transmutation. So listen, welcome tonight to, an engagement. And I know right now that there are those that are listening that are invested in the subject of Nephilim and the powers and the possible powers that could be operative in life right now. There are those, again, believers across the world should be concerned, as Monday night we discussed, that it's part of biblical revelation. And as we'll see Friday night, we'll look into the possibility of it being part of biblical prophecy. We need to take a look at it, a deep look at it. We need to see how occult streams, the Nazis, and even the possibility of the weaponization of the genetics, the power of the Nephilim, if not even the demonic demonic presence being weaponized. We see it in the book of Revelation 16. I hope you can see it there too. Listen again. Guest host tonight, Survive to Thrive Radio Network. This is Russ Dizdar. If you want to know about us, and there's a lot of hundreds of free MP3s and even a course called Confronting the Powers that is offered free this month. And you go to shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net. Now, we hear today that there's an attempted bombing or an attack on a military base here in the United States. We're going to take a look more into it as this hour progresses. But I also have noticed here a pedophile doctor, pediatrician, 471 counts of sexual abuse. And outrageous? Absolutely. Don't forget Pastor Daniels and the ritual murder of that servant, that minister, that woman that served God, that loved God. Everybody knows her testimony, but she was left in a ritual. Again, in our view, looking at what chosen ones do when they are still operative, it was about receiving powers and leaving her in kind of a, posed crucifix position, most likely even upside down, I don't know. They haven't told us anything else about it. We do know about the Texas burnings, two of the individuals caught, one of those deeply into Nietzsche. Should have read the end of the story concerning Nietzsche, who died crazed, sad, depressed. He had nothing in his life, nothing to offer. Once you throw God out the door, I mean, you can look for a lot of substitutes that do not fit the hole in the soul. And in the end, we who were made ultimately to know God, to walk with God, the Imago Dei, we were made for that majesty, and there is nothing that can replace connection, relationship with the infinite God. Nothing can replace the presence of the love of the infinite God in our lives. Let me tell you something about this hour. It will be an hour of a supernatural engagement of providence. Not only has it been prayed over, sometimes it's been attacked. And we recognize that. I know there's thousands of believers in Christ, but we want to say again our acknowledgement to those who listen because of the topics, and especially tonight. I want to say thank you to a friend in Texas. They sent me what's called the Bulletin, Philadelphia's family newspaper. And here's the article's, here's the title of the article, quote, "Buyer Beware, Satanic-Themed Video Games Concern Parents." And this is by Susan Brinkman for the Bulletin on Tuesday here, February the 23rd. I'm looking over the games, and again, most parents need to really take a look at all the games that are being put out there. Please understand, those who develop the games are, in many times, projecting their belief systems. The old theologian, philosopher Francis Schaeffer, taught by Cornelius Van Til, great apologist, by the way, taught the principle of a presuppositional analysis. Analyzing belief systems when you're seeing movies, when you're reading books, reading newspapers, and listening to music, and 'cause in all those areas, they say that people's belief systems, let alone biases, will come out. Well, you don't have to look very far in these new games, these new satanic-themed games, because they involve leading the gamer to attack and kill Michael the Archangel, Gabriel, that the devil rewards them for killing unbaptized infants, and the goal is ultimately to go, listen to this again, and kill God, to attack God ultimately. Maybe that's the theme of the game. Maybe that's a part of the spirit behind Armageddon. R1919 tells you one thing, that all of globalism, all of the super soldiers, all of the coming military system, all of New Age globalism, it's all about that end game. Stop the return, the descent of the living Christ. It is a third attempt to annihilate God, predicted and given to us in a glimpse by the Spirit of God, who has been infallible, absolutely infallible concerning what he shows us. Not only what God is going to do, what mankind does, but also what Satan does. So in the mix of God's providence and purposes, what Satan is doing in the sequence of satanic evolution, and what mankind does in the context, all of the contingencies involved when God, the Spirit of God, shows and gives that final grapha, that writing that says, this is what will occur. Well, that has always demonstrated itself to be in absolute perfection, accuracy, details, all of it. R1919 is about Armageddon. It is about the attempt in the globalism, people who are in politics and in military, weapons development individuals that are developing planetary defense weapon systems. Most of them have no idea that they're being carried along. And if they embrace the counterfeit presence that is inspired and enforcing and evolving globalism, they will be on the field in the end of days with their weapons raised into the skies, seeking to annihilate the descent of the living Christ in the second coming. And that is no game. Luciferians and Satanists who might hail the game as some kind of fun. By the way, Satanists, the real ones, the undergrounders, they do have games for their children that they play with and learn, including how to clearly tie, sacrifice a human being, all the elements. You would not believe what we've discovered over the years, but that's not for tonight's show. We'll do that at another time when we do a series on ancient rituals and future rituals. We haven't seen the mother of all rituals yet. Even God has given us a glimpse of that in Revelation 16. Let me say again, something for you to think about, chew about, you know, put in the back of your mind, but come to grips with. There is no Armageddon without the occurrence of the mother of all rituals, a ritual release of satanic power that involves, it's literally what the New Agers are talking about, a planetary spiritual wave they see as a good thing because they've already received, accepted the precursors to the ultimate grip of the fallen cherub. Hey, New Agers, will you be out there on the field, Armageddon, thinking that you are part of a good thing in annihilating what you might see as an intrusion to the New World Order? That's right. Christ will be the intruder to the inhabitants of the earth. By the way, in the book of Revelation, the inhabitants of the earth dwellers, is constantly a reference to those who end up taking the mark, worshiping the image, dancing with the demons without question. Humanly enhanced? Sure. What we see in the future has already begun, and what you're listening to tonight is about the genetics of the Nephilim. We're going to tell you tonight, and specifically Wednesday night and Friday night, that it's deeply embedded in occult themes, in military weapons development, in so-called military science, deep occultists like Aleister Crowley, clearly part of the development of satanic ritual abuse, the creation of hundreds of thousands of those whose personalities have been purposely split, programmed, demonized, and prepared to be the chaos and anarchy, you know, attacking, well, they call themselves the troops of Antichrist. And so for the victims of SRA, MPD, DID, whatever you want to call it, chosen ones, those of you who are seeking to get out, keep fighting in the name of the living Christ. His power, the demons fear. The cross brings the declaration. It is the foundation, not only of victory now, but clearly in the end, and clearly as we see in Revelation 19:19. Hey, Satanists and Luciferians out there, you need to study Revelation 19:20. If the Spirit of God's been accurate about every single thing ever predicted, Old Testament to New and New Testament to the future, then be concerned, because in your realms of counterfeit satanic prophecies, promises, even you know that there is tremendous flaws and errors. Just like with Nostradamus, just like with Edgar Cayce, just like with Sylvia Brown, just like what we're seeing with the remote viewers right now of today. Massive inaccuracies and tremendous limitations. Now, let me say something. This is where we bring in the picture of the infinite, uncreated, eternal Spirit of the living God. And again, the knowledge is, well, omniscience, omnipresence, and demons know it very well, omnipotence. Want to say again, welcome tonight, and appreciate the articles that have been sent in lately. And yes, you can send me an email at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net tonight. We've been answering a few of those yesterday, and we got off on a theme of a couple of questions, and it's always good to talk and clarify some of those issues too. And others have written about it since, and we will continue to interact. We want you to know that we do have a course on the Holy Spirit, and possibly that one will come up free pretty soon on a monthly scale. And yep, we want to help out in every single way and one day offer all of those, but there are hundreds of MP3s that are already free. Don't forget the three conferences: Michigan, March 27th, St. Louis, April 10th, 9th and 10th, and Nashville, the 23rd and 24th. If you look at shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see all the details, how to register, what it's all about, who the speakers are. I think, again, the broad one in Nashville that is developing more and more is going to be really a pace-setting conference, unlike anything done so far. Really, it really is going to be that way. Tonight, we are talking about Nephilim. How in the world are you tonight, anyway? May God's grace engage you wherever you're at, and we just trust in the power of the blood of Christ. All Aryans, past and present, will understand the concept of the power of the blood. Those involved in cloning and the attempted cloning of humans, the concept of taking a gene, taking the DNA out of the egg and the woman, and then taking the DNA and taking it out of whatever they, you know, piece of skin, whatever it is, out of the person, and then putting it into that egg and re-putting it into the woman. You're dealing with cloning, human cloning. And there's a reason why there's a battle over the issue. Because in the concept of genetics, gene splicing, in all of this, there is clearly a map. Because I'm reading articles after articles, books and books on the subject, you know, trying to look at all of it and understand all of it. Because in all that I've read so far, there's no concept of the transmission of human spirit or the creation of human spirit, nor is there the concepts of the transmission of the sin code, the death code, and the legal rights that Satan has in even the birthing or conception birthing process. Very important for us to take a look at all of it. And again, science, as great as many think it is, realizes that it has massive blind sides and limitations. Let me mention really quick right now the concept yesterday. The week is just the 22nd through the 26th, Wednesday night and Friday night. We have two more nights left. The Nephilim. And by the way, Sunday night on the other live show that we do at 10 p.m., it changes to 10 p.m. now, and we're having Patrick Huron, who wrote a book on the Nephilim, the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, and take a look again at the site. You'll see that. We're going to have Patrick on twice, and we're going to delve in for an hour and a half Sunday night with Patrick on the Nephilim, too. He's written a lot about it, and we'll look into what he has to say. And listen, it is a very interesting thing tonight that believers are listening, because 30 years in the pulpit, though I would preach on these kind of subjects, I'm saying that fellow pastors and leaders and most Christians I know have never heard a sermon on this concept whatsoever. And it's really that they're having to go everywhere for pieces and bits, and there's a New Age version, there's a Luciferic version, there's an occult version, there is, I believe, a scientific technological version that is bought into the possibility of human enhancement. I don't have any doubt whatsoever that DARPA would be committed if it could, and some would say that it does. I mean, I would think that today's sub-projects, even in DARPA and other places, would be beyond that of Himmler and the Nazis. You know, Himmler was breeding chickens. He wanted to breed pure white chickens. He understood the process of breeding, the concept of breeding cattle, the concept of breeding a racehorse. You know, going back into the lineage of horses, into the genetics of fast, powerful, strong horses, and making sure that you're selectively breeding to create even a faster or stronger or more powerful racehorse. The concept of that kind of selective breeding is clearly there in the animal world. That has been carried over during the days of the Nazis into the human context. It is massive. It's possible. Listen, folks, it is possible that tonight as I speak that there would be the children of Levensborn listening, or maybe down the road listening to one of the archives on this subject. Because Levensborn, the life source, the secret project in the end of the 30s, beginning of the 40s of the Nazis, it was a spiritual physical mix. Just to say that it was the desire to create Aryan, a pure race, a more powerful human being, is not enough. They understood that the Aryan race, which was defined occultically, demonic revelation becomes, well, occult doctrine. Demonic revelation can become political ideology or military vision. And scientific technology can come from the inspiration of the other side. There's no question about it. That all of this has been seen among the Nazis. All of it's being seen among things today. I've seen it for, well, 25 years among the undergrounders, the military super soldiers, and the transgenics and the, well, those who claim that they've got genes that have been spliced in and taken from a gene that enables a panther to see at night, spliced into human into the human DNA, so to enhance vision. And I'll tell you a bizarre story, and I can't confirm it. I can only tell you that eyeball to eyeball, dealing with a powerful chosen one with many subpersonalities, numerous ones that spoke other languages, powerful abilities, psi warrior abilities, powers to raise the demons, to do damage, committed to the coming, world ruler that they're looking at. They clearly understood transmutation. They clearly understood human enhancement. They clearly understood transgenics, and believed that they've been part of the process. So many times when they would switch personalities, and anybody working with multiples will know this, that the color of the eye, even facial features, can change. Voice, a male subpersonality inside a female. A female subpersonality inside a male. Subpersonalities that have been programmed and trained. Now listen, for those who doubt this, go back to the 1940s, read G.H. Easterbrook's, hired by the military, wrote in a book, Hypnosis, a chapter, The Weaponization. They knew how to create subpersonalities, create Manchurian candidates, assassins, reconnaissance, all the rest. And even suggested back then in the 40s that they should create these kind of super soldiers and place them in all branches of USA military. So counselors, pastors, and even those psychologists out there that have been dealing with these individuals, you've been hearing stories. Colin Ross, the Canadian psychiatrist, I believe now operating in the United States, wrote that book, Project Bluebird, The Purposeful Creation of Multiple Personality. Well, they call it a disorder, but the other side would see it as multiple personality enhancement. Ultimately, it's about dissecting the human will and incapacitating unilateral free choice. That's what the dark side's all about anyway. You can read about this in Timothy, where Satan takes individuals captive to do his will. And he does have a will. Antichrist is part of the will and this operating presence in the world. There's no Antichrist without it. There's no false prophet. There's no globalism. There's no Armageddon without the sheer manifestation and the unprecedented in all of human history manifestation of demonic powers. And listen, folks, I'm telling you again, though we live in an unprecedented day of manifestation demonically, we've seen nothing yet in comparison to what the Spirit of God has already shown what will happen, let alone what I've read and seen in the underground. There are satanic warriors. They're very powerful. That is, unchallenged by those who absolutely know their authority in Christ, the armor of God, and the purpose that God and the mission that God has. Well, as we get into this tonight, I mentioned Monday night. We dealt with the concept of Nephilim and conception. Again, Genesis 6. The B'nai Elohim came down. They met, you know, they just took the women. And basically, most would think that it'd be rape, but I'm going to tell you right now, in dealing with the subjects of incubus and succubus, there are women that I have had to counsel, that we've had to bring in our offices over the years. I would say at least 24 or more. Some that are lonely and don't want to give up the visitation of the demonic presence that engages them sexually. So I wonder at times whether in that day the women were just taken or whatever else, or whether they wanted to be a part of that. There's all kinds of extra biblical literature on the subject. And we do know that when the Nephilim were created, they then had relationships and created second generation Nephilim. We do know they were here before the flood and after the flood, the Anakites and the Zemzumis. And you can listen, read Patrick Huron's book on the subject, and you'll get a pretty good groundbreaking work on that. Take a look at Steve Quell's information on it. And we're going to discuss, I believe, Friday night, whether there's actual Nephilim on the earth. I will tell you Wednesday night, there's no question that there's been clear-cut, scientific, occult-oriented attempts to recreate. There are those that believe they are or at least have Nephilim blood. Now, we mentioned Monday night. Listen carefully, listen quickly, please. We're going to do this quickly to sum up yesterday. Human-to-human conception, traducianism in biblical theology. The human spirit is created at the instantaneous moment of conception. You don't come into existence when you're born 9 months later. You come into existence into the physical world. But you were you 9 months prior at the moment of conception. You, with your human spirit, were there just as much as you are now. You can't be alive without a human spirit. The Bible says that the body that doesn't, you know, the spirit, you know, would if it would leave, the body would be dead. James, the book of James is clear about that. The body without the spirit is dead. That is biblical thanatos. That is biblical death. That when you die in the biblical, I'm not talking about, we're not even going to get into the near-death stuff here, but I'm talking about biblical thanatos, when your spirit actually cuts off, leaves, according to Ecclesiastes, goes back to God who gave it. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed in a man once, or destined to die once. And there is a judgment, folks. There's a judgment. Either you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you know the living God, and you've been redeemed and brought back and saved from your fallen, broken, damned position. I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say it that way. We're already lost. We already have the sin code, the death code, and the legal rights of Satan over our lives, because you and I, as the human race, we open the door by joining a willed insurrection, rebellion. Now, if you say that's what you want, well, then please understand, you don't, listen, if you don't want God now, if you want to play the games that I just read about here on the web that was sent to me today, then you know what? If you don't want God now, you're not going to get him later. Let's take a few moments to listen to Steve Quayle, and we will be back. And we are back tonight, and, well, we need to be thinking about the end of days and all that is going to be occurring. In this topic for the week, tonight, the second one, dealing with the genetics of the Nephilim and the transmutation of humanity. And is this kind of a concept of transgenics, if it's the idea of splicing genes of one type into another? Well, yes. It is that sense. If you would take a gene from an animal and put it into the gene and DNA of a man, then there may be, again, a mutation, a new development, no question. And that's true in the concept of plants and, again, the looking towards. And transhumanists are doing this and others are doing this. It's all about the prolongation of life and looking for that but also you wonder again when it goes back to the occult themes. And listen, if you've ever thought, listen to me carefully, have you ever thought how the other side thinks and plots and plans? I'm talking about, again, the fallen cherub, the demonic realm. These are beings that have been around for millennia, and they got a plan. Revelation 12 talks about the ancient serpent, the dragon, that he will lead the whole world astray. So we understand the power, the depth, the goal, the agenda. Most Christians understand origins and nature of the demonic, but very few Christians, I find, understand methodology, and even fewer understand the agenda. Now, when we mention the concept of conception, it's a miraculous thing. It's part of the immediate creation, procreation that God has given. I've been involved in that. I've got a daughter. She's now 19. There was a moment when she was conceived, when she came to existence as a human spirit. And that is inseparably connected to that explosion of conception that brings the material side. The immaterial and material side is instantaneously brought to life there in that moment of conception. Now, God is attentive to it, I believe. And, you know, there's no question that his presence would be attentive to this. But we're dealing with procreation. So when it comes to human conception and then physical birth, you're dealing with the birth of a human being, the conceiving of a human being. Human to human equals human. What about the fallen angels, already corrupted, already changed in their genetics and nature? Now they come and they understand this process. They see how this process works. And by the way, nothing in biblical revelation shows that the angels or the demons can mate and produce baby demons and baby angels. So please understand, in the heavenlies, procreation of angels, procreation of demons doesn't occur. There clearly are a fixed number. They don't even die. There's no death to angels or demons. In the end, there's containment. But, again, another subject. Demon to human conception. First of all, never intended by God. Second of all, it becomes an abnormality, a transmutation, mutating the original. So this is a mutating of the original. So at the moment of conception, when the spirit is created that generates the life behind the physical, what spirit is it? It's not a human spirit, and it's not a human being. In the concept of demon to human, there is in the genetics and there is in the mix of the spirit behind the Nephilim, we would see as being demonic. Listen, Christians, Romans 8, when any single human being believes on the name of Jesus Christ and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit and is born again, Romans 8 tells us that his spirit, God the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our human spirit that we're a child of God. There's a presence that comes in that we're meant to have. And we are then made alive by the Spirit of God dwelling in our human spirit and, in a sense, manifesting into soul and even to the feeling of our body. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, realize that only a human being can be born again, can be saved. It was a human man. The man Christ Jesus, Timothy chapter 2, as far as the man side, the Savior of the world, the sinless Savior of the world, we understand clearly he's God in human flesh. But you've got to understand that his representation is fully for God and fully for man. So he's fully God, fully man. So we'll get into the concept here now of the conception of Christ. Now we have infinite, immeasurable, immortal God causing the conception in the womb, in the egg, of Mary, who was chosen by God. So now you have God to human spirit. And again, in all of the words of God, all of the works of God, all of the attributes of God, all of the character of God, you have this concept, this infinite attribute or characteristic of perfection. So in Christ, Emmanuel expresses the conception clearly. God in human flesh. In theology, we just simply say fully God, fully man. The genetics of Jesus in every way, fully, absolutely God, yet fully and absolutely man, human. Christians could understand that in the conception there, we have God to human. So you go back to Genesis 6 and we find the B'nai Elohim, the fallen, obviously. They had, this is definitely, clearly in opposition to God, creating what the Bible calls Nephilim. That's not spoken of in any other kind of relationship. Not even in demonization, not even in demon possession. Demon possession is not the same thing as Nephilim. Demon possession, diamonizoid, the Greek word, the idea of demonization and their powers and their abilities. Listen, we need to look at three questions tonight. But I want you to have these four facts down. Human-to-human conception brings about a human with human spirit, soul, and body. Demon-caused conception in the human female is a hybrid transmutation that, well, as far as we can see and detect and dissect from what information we have, would be that the demonic presence overtook, that the spirit would be demonic behind it all. And the powers and the presence of the demonic enablements would be in the genetics, in the blood. Nephilim were not just tall, big, strong, fast, lived longer. It would be without question that they were the occult tribes, that they would be, they would have in my research on it, the powers of telekinesis, astral projection, and all of the rest was inherent powers based on the DNA of the Nephilim. Now, when Nephilim then took on other female and the next generation and the next generation, well, it's without question. In the concept of breeding, they would begin to lose some of that power. It's Himmler that understood this clearly, and Hitler that understood this clearly, when they believed in the concept of the God-men Aryans. The Aryans, in my personal view, were a tribe, a race of the Nephilim down the road. They were. I believe that. And I believe that their blood, their genetics, did inherently contain these powers, and they were what others researched. They were considered small g, like godmen. Now it's Himmler and Hitler and others that wanted that to come back. They wanted an enhanced super army. Let me ask you something: if their politics were demon inspired, and it became demonic ideology, if their military conquest technologies and sciences, if their belief about the nature of the Jewish state and of the Jews, if it all was inspired by the demonic realm, if demonic revelation inspiration became their political ideology, their military vision and science and all the rest, please understand that the concept for the need of a super race What was the purpose? Anybody know? The reason for the super race was to be enforcers of a 1,000-year Reich. A 1,000-year Reich. A 1,000-year reign. They were to be the super enforcers behind the entire concept. And that is exactly what is behind the concept of building chosen ones. Christians, can I ask you a question? When it comes to the troops of Antichrist, who are they going to be? What kind of soldiers? Revelation 19:20 tells us that all the soldiers, eventually, they take the mark, they worship the image, they are enhanced super soldiers that have served the Antichrist and that system, believing that they actually need to kill God. Can I tell you something? This article that I've gotten from this friend in Texas, by the way, who's listening, how you doing today? Hope that it's going well for you. Buyer beware Satan-themed video games concern parents. Teaching the kids in the game how to kill Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel, how to go after and kill unbaptized infants, and how to join and make a war to try to kill God. Destroy God is the teaching of the game. And I noticed in the article where it says, quote, game publishers such as Electronic Arts and Midway Games have not responded to this newspaper, the Bulletin's request for comment. I wonder why. Because, again, presuppositional analysis. What do they believe? Well, they listen, those that make the games, those who made the Ouija board, those who devise rituals, where does it all come from? The inspiration, the belief systems. Same thing's true about Levensborn, a real birthing project. It's all about breeding, to breed a better stock of humanity. The goal was to purify the blood from the subspecies humans and bring about the superior human species, the Godmen. The concept from the demonic inspiration, the ideology was that inspiration of collecting Nephilim blood as far back as possible, and again, breeding to get more of it collected in the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, so that in the 30s and the beginnings of the 40s, if they had some estimate 800,000 babies that were bred in this, well, goal of creating Godmen. It involved genetics, but it involved spirit-inspired genetic breeding for the purpose of spiritually enhanced godlike human beings. And the interesting thing tonight is Levensborn means that when it occurred, and if you count the days and the years, it could be that some from Life Source are listening or will listen to archives because you're in your late 60s. It is very possible that if some of those genetically, spiritually bred babies were given off to Nazi black flame inclined families, Luciferic families, it's very possible that they were brought up in the split the core of human personality, create sub personalities, demonizing and programming and training to create the super soldier. The concept, after the Nazis lost, went underground, went worldwide. Even the old film Boys from Brazil. You ever see that movie? You got to see it. You got to see the movie, The Boys from Brazil, and you'll see the concepts on the physical side there. I am saying that there is a spiritual side. I am saying that according to biblical revelation, the demonic side is predicted by the Spirit of God to break through into humanity, not only creating movements and doctrines and experiences and so forth, but it's all about hooking humanity and giving you, you know, humans enhancements and leading the way to something deeper and broader. Three questions real quick. Number one, in reference to Nephilim past, the possibility of Nephilim present, were they or are they just enhanced humans in the transgenic sense? In other words, a human being that has just had kind of a infusion, not just demon possession, but the genetics, the blood, the DNA. Listen quickly here. You'll have to think through this and get ready to do a big study on this. Most satanic, ritually abused individuals, when people get down to the inside, priestesses, those who have the information, will be told that their blood needs to stay purified, that there's power in their blood. I'm going to tell you tomorrow night, sitting with a law officer, chosen one, talking to a subpersonality named Piet, describing how in a sub-project, secret project in a base in Holland, how this concept, a new attempt to create Nephilim, has been done since the 50s. Kind of, not just gene splicing, but here we're going to talk about spirit splicing. At the moment of conception, killing off the human spirit, injecting demonic presence, and in some sense, recreating Nephilim. I'm going to at least tell you what they told me, but that's going to be Wednesday night. The concept, Nephilim were not just enhanced humans. They were totally transmuted and not considered humanity. They acted more like demons in every respect to the core of their genetic structure and DNA. They would have been mutations and not human. Now, when they died, some say, and extra biblical material says, their spirits are part of the, well, the spirits that now infect and seek to get inside humans to this very day. Though Jesus, in all the Gospels, doesn't show a difference between that when he's dealing with whatever spirits are inside of humanity. Second question, Nephilim, or those who have Nephilim blood like Aryan. The powers that are in the genes and so forth, the blood, is that what it's all about? The powers. To bring the powers. Now, please, again, for all who are believers biblically, Mark's Gospel chapter 5 deals with a man obviously possessed, clearly, totally, deeply possessed, some say up to a legion of demons, because that's when they explain their name. Now, in this case, we don't see how they got in, what the man got into, because no demons just get in like that where there wasn't doorways. But it doesn't describe the doorways, it just shows the end run. A man, naked, cutting himself, living among the tombs, in desecration. It's almost like the shreds of humanity left. But in this deep, broad demonization of that man, who didn't act like a man, but acted more like, what would you say? A crazy? I mean, everybody feared to be around him, and they put him in chains. And biblical revelation shows us that the superhuman strength of that man was so great that he was able to bust human chains. So you and I can understand in those who are developing militaries in the Himmler Hitler situation, it was the more powerful, more empowered, more stronger, Aryan, enhanced humans, godmen. Later, among Stalin and those there, and I won't go into tonight about their desire to, and there was actual attempts to kind of gene splice or create, take from, what was it, gorillas? I think it was gorillas. And put their genes into humans to make these powerful, strong, you know, because they're obviously much stronger than human. Again, the idea of enhancing soldiers. The Russians have also done the Psy Warrior thing, have and still do, by the way. A lot of old Russian Psy Warriors are around, and they're for sale, just like in America. As you understand, empowerment, we've dealt with a lot of deliverances where demons do enhance humanity in the sense of the demons can give you powers of telekinesis, clairvoyance, enable you to leave your body and astral project, connect you with the astral plane. They can give you powers of perception to read minds and, you know, energize, enhance the human construct to do things that humans don't normally do. Demons can do that. Demons can be cast out and it can no longer be done. When it comes to Nephilim, can you command the demons out of the Nephilim? No. If you were able to command the demonic properties out of the blood, out of the DNA, out of the Nephilim, well, it was said to me by one who knows well that they would just fall over as a lump of flesh. There's no human spirit to stay intact. Whereas in those who are demonized and even demon-possessed, the human spirit, soul, everything is taken over by a power beyond them, and then the enhancement. And I'll say again that, and I'll bring this out deeply tomorrow, Wednesday night, that military systems have sought the weaponization of demonic powers. I believe that's true in the genetics and in the spirit-given abilities or the energies that can enhance. And now I will tell you that militaries have attempted even ritual to conjure power to enable them to win battles. For biblically oriented believers out there, you should not be surprised. This occurred in the Old Testament. And it occurs in Revelation 16. There is no Armageddon. The biggest mass of military technology, weaponry, individuals, the biggest military system in human history on the field ready for war is the military most supernaturally enhanced and guided and directed and glazed over. They can't even come to Armageddon, to the fields, without a planetary release of demonic power to summon them. With, listen, do you understand how real this power is? And outside the authority of Christ, there is nothing to stop it. If you're listening right now and you've dabbled into those powers, there's only one way out. The living Christ, the blood and the cross, all that Jesus did, there is deliverance, there is freedom. You can go to Preemption Broadcast Podomatic. Scroll down, there's 1 hour session on how to get free from dark spirits. Third question tonight dealt with Nephilim. Are the Nephilim able to receive more demons? In other words, can they be possessed? Can more demons come in? Would it be more of a natural thing? And I would answer yes. As a matter of fact, I want you to think through this because we're going to run out of time. Everywhere you see a ziggurat or a temple, like in the Mayan temples where everybody's flocking down to see the mirage. Listen, it's absolutely, it's a worm hanging on a hook spiritually. Psychics have gone down. Military have gone down. Others have gone down to engage, even taking ayahuasca to open themselves up to the gods of the Mayans. The ziggurats usually involved, and I'm going to say this and you might have questions, involved the presence of Nephilim. They're leading the people to the worship of demon spirits and the sacrifice of humans over and over and over again, simply to say that a sacrifice of a human is a major gateway to bring demons in. Hey, there's the music. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless you. Listen, come to Christ. Hurry if you haven't done so already. Blessings to you in Jesus' name, and good night.